Let us unite our hearts. Lord, we approach thy throne in this afternoon hour. We pause before we open thy word as we've gathered together and call upon thee, O Lord, that thou would, in this afternoon hour, speak to each of our hearts, that thou would give us each a clarity of mind, a focus upon the word which we will read together. It is a word that gives us life and that eternal. So, Lord, awaken our thoughts and bring us to those heavenlies where thou dost reign, O Lord, and reveal thyself unto each one of us, that we would realize fully that in thy presence is the fullness of joy. So abide thou with us and bless us this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading and meditation, I desire to open and read together from Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Jevrejima 11. glava. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. May God. Dear ones, I was brought to this chapter here after the reading of this morning and the meditation on the Word and words of Jesus, who told Peter, "O ye of little faith." And I asked myself, so what does Jesus tell me? What does he tell each one of us? If he was able to tell Peter, who called or who stepped out in faith into boisterous waves of such magnitude that they were afraid, seasoned fishermen were afraid of the waves and of their own safety, that would they even make it back to the shore? And it's Peter who, in faith, stepped out onto those waves and did the impossible. And this is what faith is. It does the impossible. And Peter walked on the water. And he looks about him, and he saw the waves, and he was afraid. He was afraid because he took his eyes off of the object of his faith. And now suddenly he was back in the realm of the reality of a storm and walking on water, which he knows is not possible to do. And with his eyes off of Christ, he quickly starts to sink. And Jesus, he cries out to his Lord, and his Lord reaches out, and they step into the boat. O ye of little faith. John the Baptist chose truth, knowing that you don't tell a king that he is in sin and expect to have your head the next day. He knew that. He didn't just say that and later, oh, what did I do? Why did I say that? Now I'm going to lose my life. He had faith. A faith in his God who John was a forerunner, a herald, who wandered around in the wilderness preaching, calling men to repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. When they came to him, unrepented, O generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath which is to come? Bring fruit that is meet for repentance. And he who was wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, is found in the prison. The party's going on, we read of, and the plan was hatched that his head's going to come off because of a truth that he spoke, that he was not afraid to speak. And then where else could we find a singular chapter, as we have read this afternoon, to really stir our soul into motion and to bring us to our eye-opening reality of my own faith, and what does it look like, and what do I put my faith in, and who is my trust in? Because God is shown unto us. He reveals himself to us through his word. And you and I, in order to have faith in him, must accept all of the attributes of who Christ is. I can't look at the attributes of Christ and choose this. I can't choose something and then when there's a sternness that speaks to my heart of what I need to cast aside, I'm going to, that's not so attractive to this flesh. And deceive my own self into believing that I'm a servant of the Most High, as the very attributes of he who created all things, I don't adore, I don't love. And I want to create my own God who pleases the flesh and still satisfies the soul. It's a false God. It's a lie that I succumb to. And in this chapter, we have what is a definition of faith. And when we read it, It brings it to such a reality that my own eyes and your own eyes, when we look outside and when we see something, and we know this is what we saw it. My eyes took in the light, transformed it into what it is. I saw it. Physically, I saw it. Faith is more real than that. Faith is more real. Because how many times did our eyes deceive us? I know there were three people standing there. No, there was only two. No, I saw three. No, you saw two. Faith doesn't do that. Faith is more real than what your eyes can see and what your ears can hear. Faith reveals unto us those things that Paul spoke of heaven, and his beauty and his splendor, and that your eye has never seen and your ears never heard of, nor into that finite mind of mine has the thought of heaven ever even could enter to comprehend what my eyes of faith see. And who do they see it in? In my Savior. He is real, or he is not at all. And when he becomes real to me, when I know him, I'm going to love him. If I don't love him, it's because I don't know him, and my faith has not taken me. My faith is not real in him if my eyes have not seen him, my eyes of faith. to see that beauty, all the attributes of him. Yes, the one who was poor, the one who was meek and mild, the one who didn't enter into arguments and fights and anger, and the one who was gentle and loving. Come. Come was his call to Peter. When Peter said, call me out, he says, come. And he says the same thing to you today, my dear friends. Come. Come, step out in faith. Step out in faith so you can see things you've never seen before. So you can live a life that you could never dream that you could overcome things to serve me, your God, your Creator. Step out in faith. Everything that we read in this chapter, what did we always start with? By faith. By faith, there was victory. By faith, they did this and this, and we read it. And it has to cause our hearts to just break. When we read of the men of faith, who it tells us here, they were living in the shadows of the reality of Christ and the cross. And yet, what did they do? What did they subdue? We live in the reality of it. Brothers and sisters and my dear friends, we live in the reality of the cross. They lived in the shadow of it. Those are all things that were to come. And they believed. They believed to the point that it tells us here. They were tortured, sawn asunder. We heard this morning that John was sawn asunder. His head was taken off. Why? Because of a promise. A promise that God gave them. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Scientists today love to talk about the absoluteness of their equations of things. And absolute. It's absolute. It can't change. It can't deviate. It's real. It's absolute. But when it comes to creation, they're going to give you a philosophy. Suddenly, they're not scientists anymore. They're no longer scientists. They can't prove to you. Who is God? How was creation? When did it come from? Evolved from what? And they'll give you a theory. It says, we understand how? Through faith. With faith, it's very clear to us. Those things which the scientists refuse to accept. And they torment themselves trying to figure out a method that they could bring to you and me to say, this is it. Here's the proof. By faith, you believe. Who do you believe? The word is it revealed, Jesus Christ. How do you know who he is? Are you satisfied with your knowledge of who he is? Are we good with what we've learned in Sunday school and as children? Sitting at the feet of our parents, our mother who sang her hymns, listening. Is that what we rest it all upon? Is there a journey that we've taken in faith that takes us along and reveals the glory of heaven? And reveals the power in Christ. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So, and it says here, so that things which are seen, those things which you see, they are made of things which aren't there. By the word of God. And he goes on and gives the examples of faith. And everywhere we read, he starts in the garden with Abel. Tells us that he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So We have to understand that just by this statement that Abel and the sacrifice that he offered was excellent in the sense that it was delivered as God had ordained him to do it. God told him what he wanted him to do, and he did it exactly. He didn't deviate from what God's instructions were to him. And he says, because of that, he obtained a witness. Who was that witness? It was God. And it's left for us today to read that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His faith still speaks today to you and to me. Today it's still being mentioned of Abel, who was killed in the garden because of jealousy of his own brother, who didn't follow the instructions of God, who did not provide the sacrifice that God had demanded of him. And it was rejected. But we would say, but he did. He brought the best of his fruit or vegetables or whatever he got from his garden. It wasn't what God asked from him. You cannot substitute something of what you deem is good enough for what God says is what I want. And how will I know what he wants? Unless I read his word, meditate upon those truths, and love him. And am willing to sacrifice everything for him. What does that? My faith. Because I've seen him. I know him. As Paul, I know I say it so often, but I think it's one of the most eye-opening portions of Scripture to me. When I think of what Apostle Paul says, that he got rid of everything so that I may know him. In other words, brothers and sisters and dear friends, if there's anything in my life that I'm holding dear, just hang on to a little bit, just a little of this. That means I don't know him, because something is more precious to me than his word. So that I may, in other words, I cannot know him if I retain anything that is carnal for my flesh. I cannot know him. So who do I serve? Who do I love? If the Bible is telling me I can't know him when I'm holding things near and dear to me, I've created a God that doesn't exist in the Word. I think it's good enough, as Cain thought it was good enough. His sacrifice was good enough. And now suddenly he provides a sacrifice, but he goes and kills his own brother. That tells you what was in that sacrifice. Nothing. But he thought it was worthy of God, presenting to God. And we see what was in his heart. It's quickly revealed to us. Talks about Enoch. We can't even possibly cover this, but this is the beauty of this chapter, brothers and sisters. We can read this and just think on each verse. And it's very clear to us. We know what is being said here. And we have to compare it to our own faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. What happened? He was translated. How? He never saw anyone get translated before. He never saw anyone taken alive out of this world and he's no longer anywhere. Never heard of such a thing. But he said he was translated so he should not see death, and he was not found. That means they looked for him. They're looking for him. Where is he? Can't find him. God took him alive. We leave this earth dead. He left it alive. Why? It says before his translation, he had this testimony. What was the testimony of Enoch? That he pleased God. Imagine having that testimony from God. You know, God spoke that about his own son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He looked at his servant Enoch, and he says, he's pleasing unto me. He says, I'm going to take him out of this world. What did it all? Enoch's faith in God. And so it tells us here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can bring in whatever you want. He owns everything. He created everything. This morning in a prayer we heard of the blue dot. Man is so impressed with the creation of God and marvels and seeks to know and understand and the vastness of the heavens and even the vastness of the earth beneath cannot be found out. Yeah, and this little blue dot. Man expends billions and billions of dollars in research to know, to learn. But he takes his eyes off of the Creator. The one who created all the heavens and all the stars. And what does God say about it all? About the stars that he created? In five words, he says, he created the stars also. That's all that God thinks about that. And man will search and search and search. And God is outside of that. That's all his creation. You can't come to the end of it. That which was spoken by word, those things are revealed to us, it tells us here. We understand that by faith. And so everything that we can look at the redwoods in California. We can look at the Grand Canyon. We can look at the deserts. We can look at the wildernesses. We can look at everything. And we can be awestruck. But it has to bring us to who created those things and give glory to God, because all of those things glorify him. The moon and the stars and everything on this planet glorifies him because it reveals him. He created us. Yet man alone chooses a different path. And he goes on, he speaks about, he says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will reward you if you seek him diligently. How will he reward you? With the prayer that I believe we all ask, increase our faith. That's the reward. Because when my faith is increased, I see him. I'm not deterred by anything. I can't say he's going to reward me, because we read later in the chapter, he didn't reward everyone with victory over someone trying to kill them or murder them or torture them. He didn't deliver everyone. He delivered some. We sang in the hymn, right, that the Lord guides all things and he provides all things. He provided for the saints who were sawn asunder, and he provided for the saints who were delivered. He guides everything. He provides everything. And dear ones, our faith needs to be such. So when we diligently seek him, he will reward us with an increase in our faith that will reveal him unto us and cause us to love him more yet and realize that our love for him is not perfect and it needs to be perfected even more. And that can only be done through faith in him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, something he would receive for an inheritance, it says he just went out. He didn't know where he was going. He just went. He obeyed. It's all about obeying what the Lord is calling us to. He never saw that promise. His son Isaac didn't see it. Jacob didn't see it. It was much later, four or five generations later, through Moses, that we can see. And what did Moses do? It says, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What did he choose? Do you know what he was going to inherit? He had access to the throne of Egypt. We can look at what historians and archaeologists uncover over there now, the vastness of the wealth that was there. That was all his. It's his. And what did he do? He didn't say, you know what? Yeah, this is great. I'm going to stay here because I'm going to, when I ascend to the throne, or if I get into a position that is higher, I'm going to do something that make things easier for my fellow Israelites. That wasn't God's plan. But that's what man tends to do. We tend to do those things. Oh, because of this, I'm going to do this. You know, we're going to give me. And I'm going to do something for God too. It says here, that he choosing rather to suffer. Look at this. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What would be sinful about going and becoming the Pharaoh's, being in his household? Why is that sin? That's where circumstances brought me. He knows what it all meant. He knows what it all meant. He wasn't going to be deceived by the riches, by those temporary things that are going to rob him of his God, who faith revealed to him. So he chose. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. What? The reproach of Christ than all of the treasures that are in Egypt. My faith isn't nothing if I don't treasure the reproaches of Christ. If I wouldn't gladly give up, as Paul said, all things so that I may know him. He forsook Egypt by faith, not fearing the wrath of the king. John the Baptist didn't fear the wrath of the king. He feared God. He was an herald. He feared God that he doesn't fulfill that which God has given him to do. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. How? It tells us by faith. You see what faith does? You see what faith does? It lets us see him. When we see him, dear ones, are you going to fear man? Are you going to be enticed by the things of this world, the riches of Egypt? Sadly, we are. We are enticed. And sadly, we do follow after the riches of Egypt and the treasures of this earth over the treasures that are in Christ, our Lord. Why? Because his attributes aren't attractive to me in the flesh. That Rolls Royce sounds mighty good. Hand built, beautiful. The reproaches of Christ are greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Do I believe that? Do you believe that? And I'm talking about with my life. That which you can see in my life, what I can see in your life, is that really who I am? Is God visible to me as he was unto the men of faith? By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowning. You see what faith does and what no faith does? They didn't drown. The Egyptians had no faith. They did drown. The walls of Jericho, again, by faith, they fell down. Why? Because the Israelites had to obey the word of God in order to those mighty walls that are impenetrable. They had to come down by simply obeying the word of God. Human thoughts, the commanders in chief, the military men would say, we need weapons. We need to amass this. We need this. We need this. Once we get all this, then we're going to assault, make an assault on Jericho. No. No. By faith. Do what I say, God said. And unless they did that, those walls would still be standing. But they went in and they obeyed God. And the walls came crumbling down. And it tells us that Rahab didn't perish. Why? Because she believed. Those around her didn't believe. She believed. She didn't know God. She only knew them through the spies that came and through word of mouth of the Israelites and their God and who he is and how great this nation is. They're coming in. And with that hearing and listening to the spies, she believed and she was saved. And then he says, and what shall I say? More say. Time, it says, time would fail me to tell of. And he goes on. And he includes David in that. David, who we can read so much of his life and what he had gone through and his temptations and his sin and his victories and his repentance as he writes those psalms that really reveal the brokenness of his heart and what he had realized, how he has sinned against his God. He just mentions in David. But that's for us now. Go into David. Go back. Find out who David was. Where his faith took him. Where his unbelief took him. Where his deceit, being deceived, took him. We see it all in the scriptures. We can read about Gideon and Samson and Jephthah. We can read about Samuel and all the prophets. He says, faith, time doesn't allow me to speak in detail. But what? That through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and on. How? By faith. Talks about those who were stoned. Their trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, beaten, bonds, imprisonment. We read of them. We read of Peter and John. We read of Paul. We read of all of these men of God, holy men. That's what the Bible calls it. The Bible calls you and I holy. Paul writes in this very epistle, he says, holy brethren. What? Can you imagine walking up to a brother and say, holy, and name him by name? I'd say, whoa. That's what Paul calls the church, holy brethren. You see what our calling is? I wouldn't feel comfortable being called holy brother. Paul did it without reservation. He taught Christ. He knew Christ. His faith, he saw him. He saw him. What did Paul say? I believe God. They were going to shipwreck. They thought they're all going to perish. But it says an angel of God came to him by night. The God that he believes in sent a messenger to him, told him, all of you are going to be saved. The ship will not, but you're all going to be saved. And he tells the people, and they're in disbelief. He says, I believe God. Why? Because he spoke it. This is his word. I believe God. Do I know who I believe? We sing a song, but I know whom I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I believe. Paul knew I believe God. And when he believes God, he's ready to perish with him, for him. And it speaks of all these men and says the world is not worthy of them. Of whom the world was not worthy. The men that they looked down upon, scorned, beat, looked at them as the filth of the earth is what they looked at them as. These high and mighty Egyptians and Romans and with all their wealth and all the gold and everything they had, they looked upon these, who are these guys? And it says the world wasn't worthy of them. Why? Because they worshipped the Creator, a God who was real to them, who was very visible, who was more real to them than the gold was to the Romans, that they saw and possessed and purchased things and obtained a mass amount of wealth and power through.
What they saw was more real than that. More real. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Dear ones, this is examples of faith, and it tells us that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off. They saw them afar off. They didn't receive them, but they saw them. And they lived for that which was to come. It was the cross of Christ. It was Christ on Golgotha. It was Christ who was going to die for them. It was Christ who was going to save them. He was the object of their faith, of their love, of their life. It was all in him. It says they did it. They died in faith. What a blessed way to die, in faith. It says they were persuaded of those things which they saw afar off, and they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We know what a stranger and a pilgrim is on this earth. Is that who I am? And it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity of return. But now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God wasn't ashamed to call Enoch one who pleased God. God was not ashamed to testify today to us of the faithful witnesses of old, who all pointed to Christ and declared their faith in him through the life that they lived. I can declare I believe in God. We all can, and we all do. But to serve a God is different. When my faith in him is such that it must transform me and bring about a new man that is separated and gives up everything in this life so that I may know him. How precious are the promises of God. And let us embrace them also, as these men of faith did. They embraced those things. They were seeking that country whose maker and creator is God, who's prepared a city for us. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.